the reason that you had to care. The traffic is stuck and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
YouTube is your artist of the day. If you want to feel old, this song is 18 years old.
Yeah.
How do you know, Scott? I bought the record when it first came out in 2000.
Yeah.
We're holding on and hoping that somebody who is at the funeral today of George H.W. Bush, local guy, is able to call in. If you're just getting in your car, maybe you missed the coverage today. It was, for lack of a better term, a beautiful ceremony. I hate to use the argument, the suggestion that it was a perfect ceremony. Because
it was
these
just
things...
So, it was very, you know what it is? It was very touching.
Yes, moving.
Moving.
Yeah.
I cried and cried in
my
car.
I cried.
Michael W. Smith, the Christian singer, did a beautiful symphonic rendition of his song, Friends. There was a lot of talk during the eulogies today about George H.W. Bush and his friends. And at one point, the camera went to James Baker, the former Secretary of State, when they were talking about their friendship. And to watch James Baker, who must be well into his 80s by now, break down and cry at this funeral, I was like, oh, God, oh, God.
Yeah.
And then Michael W. Smith came out and sang his song, Friends. It was so good. It was so good. And then George W. Bush, the 43rd president of the United States, spoke about his father. It was incredibly moving.
So through our tears, let us know the blessings of knowing and loving you, a great and noble man, the best father a son or daughter could have. And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again.
Tissue. At that point, he closed his notebook and turned around and walked off.
And
it was so good.
And I said this in the 2 o'clock hour, but if you were not in your car or able to listen at the beginning of the program, I think that has struck such a chord with so many people. The eulogy was so moving. It was beautiful.
You're talking about George W. Bush's?
It was funny. Yeah. In parts, it was very funny. And it's everything you want that moment to be when you are trying to honor your loved one. And I think it struck such a chord with so many people listening. And it was so emotional because he really is a son in that moment talking about his dad. He's a son talking about his dad who is gone, who happened to be the president of the United States.
Right.
But in that
and
moment,
you happen
yes,
to be the
when you're giving the eulogy,
States.
You're a grieving son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope you haven't been through that, but I know a lot of you listening have. I have friends who have buried their parents. It's one of those things like having children. I've heard them say, until you go through it, you have no idea.
I remember listening to the eulogies thinking to myself, and it's not about me and it never is, but it's always hard to not internalize a little bit these sorts of things. I remember listening to George W. Bush talk about his dad today and recognizing and being reminded over the last 4 or 5 days, whether you agreed with him politically or not, what a good human being he was.
Yeah.
Whether it was, maybe you didn't like his politics.
Sure.
Maybe you disagreed with him ideologically. You cannot take away from him
his service.
That's right. And his humanity, his humility, even being born into wealth, he would go to Camp David for Thanksgiving because he knew that it required the fewest number of Secret Service. And more members of the Secret Service would be allowed to go home with their families. He was better than me. And that's what I kept thinking during, well, not kept thinking, but one thought I did have during George W. Bush's eulogy is, I pray to God my kids could say something like that about me when I die.
Yeah.
And I don't know right now that they can. He's better than I am. And it gave me something to strive for. I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but I think that's one thing we've all been reminded of.
Well, and that generation, Scott, went through things that make them the greatest generation.
But I serving in a war, believe you me, does not, and I'm not taking anything away from it, serving in a war does not make you great. It makes you braver and stronger than I could ever be, but it doesn't make you great necessarily. He was a great man. And I hope, and right now I know I'm not there, so if I learned anything, it was from Bush's, George W. Bush, I don't mean to be disrespectful, so I apologize, from President Bush, the 43rd president.
Yeah.
What I learned from his eulogy today is you can be better.
And leave the world a better place
than
you found it.
Yes.
It was absolutely beautiful. And I've just enjoyed over the last couple of days the reflection and the, I think it's humbling to see everyone just for a moment pause and give thanks and reflect. And we do this when we bury a president.
Until Friday when we're going to go back to hating each other. And we talked about that in the 2 o'clock hour, 6 o'clock in the morning come Friday, we're all going to go right back to hating each other. You know, I've said this before on the show, and I don't want to beleaguer the point. I don't want to beat a dead horse. Feed a fed horse. I don't want to feed a fed horse, PETA. However, I've always watched with amazement the very people, and it's on both sides, who constantly remind us we live in the greatest nation in America. Nobody's ever been this great. We're fantastic. We're so free, which we are, by the way. And we are the greatest nation in the history of the world. But man, we are a grumpy, disagreeable group of people for living in the greatest nation that ever lived or ever existed. We are a really rotten lot. To be so lucky as to have been born in this country, to have been so lucky to be able to call ourselves Americans, man, you would think we lived in hell. The way we hate each other.
It was one of my favorite quotes from today, and I believe it was the first speaker.
Is this the inside the vessel thing?
Yes.
That was Alan Simpson, by the way. It was Senator Al Simpson from Wyoming.
And his speech was so sweet and funny. I mean,
it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the exact quote up here. Go ahead, try to paraphrase it, and then I'll get the exact
Essentially,
quote.
He said that he was not a hateful person. He did not hate. And that the president, as well as his wife of 73 years, would say hate corrodes. I keep saying the vessel. I don't think that's the
vessel.
Exact
no, that was
word,
a word.
Or the
no.
container.
Okay.
Well, hi, buddy. We got children out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, apparently we have kids in the news.
That's one of several things I took away from the eulogies today.
I'll look it up. I'll try to get the exact quote. But, you know, and you guys are welcome to call in. I mean, this is a national day of mourning. Federal offices were closed. Your bank was closed. Your post office was closed. But I go back because Rod made the point in the 2 o'clock hour, 6 a.m. Friday morning, we're all going right back to hating each other.
I don't know. Wouldn't you like to think that's not the case? I'd like to think that's not the case.
You're damn right I'd like to think that. But I also live in this realm called reality. And I guarantee to you, come Friday morning, 6 o'clock, you turn on the news, we are right back to hating each other again. We'll get with Blake in just a second. If he can, Rod, because we're up against the break. If Blake can hold the line, hang on, let me just talk to him real quick. Mr. Williams, hello.
Hey.
Hi, you were at the funeral today, is that correct?
I was at the departure ceremony, and I've been at the events, you know, for the funeral.
Okay.
I wasn't at National Cathedral.
Okay, but you were at the departure ceremony at Joint Base Andrews?
Yes.
Okay, can you hold the line for just a moment, if you don't mind, sir?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, please do. We'll get with Blake Williams.
He just pulled off the highway to safely call in. And I believe Blake worked in for the president, I believe it was 6 years, and just has a lot of insight and just good stories and memories to share. And so we are thankful for him. I know it has been a very, very busy day in Washington, D.C.
So through our tears, let us know the blessings of knowing and loving you, a great and noble man, the best father a son or daughter could have. And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again.
This is Kansas City's 98.1 FM.
98.1 FM.
KMBZ.
Hey, Dana right here for Dr. Tague in the Center for Nutrition in Leawood at 135th and Row. What are you waiting for? Dr. Tague and his fantastic, supportive staff are standing by to help you with your weight loss struggle. And it doesn't matter if you have 50 pounds to lose, 20 pounds, 100 pounds or more, they will help you with a medically managed weight loss approach that will have you looking better, feeling better than you ever have. I know I look better. I feel better when Dr. Tague is part of my life. I have a girlfriend down more than 50 pounds since she walked in for that free consultation. Make that call now for your free consultation and see what they can do to help you. Better health, better metabolic health in 2019 is a phone call away. 913-814-8222 is the number to call. 913-814-8222 or check out the program online, TagNutrition.com. TagNutrition.com. You tell them Dana sent you.
He worked for George H.W. Bush for 6 years, 2 years as vice president, 4 years as president of the United States. He was an advance representative, the lead advance representative. He lives in Kansas City, and he was at Joint Base Andrews today when the plane took off to return the body of George H.W. Bush to Texas. Blake Williams joining us on the hotline. Mr. Williams, thank you for your time, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
What was it like working for the former president?
You know, it was absolutely wonderful. It was a time in my life that, you know, I couldn't easily replicate any other way at this point. He was just a wonderful person to work with. He was always focused on what was best for the country. He and Barbara were always wondering how we were doing, his staff, you know, as we traveled together, and just a very personable, wonderful man.
I noticed you called her Barbara, not Mrs. Bush. Did she tell you to do that?
not that often. She, you know, she was a terrific lady. You could irritate the president, but you didn't want to make her mad. There were a couple times where she threatened to kill me, you know, in a very maternal way, but was always looking after his best interests. And so, you know, you could never make her the spotlight. She always wanted the spotlight to be on him. So any time that she felt she was getting too much, attention, she would quickly correct us and make sure that it was all on him.
What do you remember the most about that time in your life, Blake? You were 22 years old when you started down that road, which is incredibly young. I think you would agree. What an amazing front row seat to history at such a young age.
Yeah, it was wonderful, Dana. So a slight correction. I spent his 4 years as vice president with him, and then I spent the last 2 years of the presidency. The other 2 years I was deputy to Lee Atwater, chairman of the RNC. And so, you know, it was just a terrific time in my life. I was very young, but it's a young person's game to do that. We were working 100-hour weeks. We were traveling all over the world. You know, I changed time zones 7 times one weekend.
Wow.
Kind of thing. So, you know, you had to have the stamina. They chose staff by, at least the President, Mrs. Bush, by, you know, our ability to kind of make things happen and work with people. A lot of times you're asking individuals to do, you know, quite a bit to get the trip done and highly disrupt their lives and that kind of thing. And so there was a lot of finesse you know, just having an ability to work with individuals to get them to do what we needed them to do.
And so. He was a big into thank you notes even after simple trips, Blake. I read somewhere that one of the things he always wanted was a list of those who were put out or had to be placed in difficult positions because of his attendance.
Yeah, we actually put together a list for him of everybody who volunteered, what they were doing, you know, from, you know, volunteer drivers and escorts to people that were, you know, making signs. I mean, the littlest thing. And he wanted to make sure that the thank you notes went out to those folks. And then for bigger roles, he would do handwritten notes. And I pulled out a box of things that he had sent me over the years. And just the volume was amazing. I can't really, you know, I hadn't thought about it before, but the amount of things simply to me that he had done personally is just staggering.
Wow. That's fascinating.
That individual touch, yeah.
Mr. Williams, thank you for your time. I'm sorry for your loss, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. He was a wonderful man. He was a great president, highly qualified, and we are certainly going to miss him.
Safe travels back to KC, Blake, okay?
Thanks.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
What?
So good. So good.
James Brown.
I got you.
Here on Dana and Parks. Dateline is Washington. The Constitution says you can't be tried twice for the same offense. And yet Terrence Gamble is sitting in prison today because he was prosecuted separately by Alabama and the federal government for having a gun after an earlier robbery conviction. The Supreme Court will consider Gamble's case tomorrow, and the outcome could have a spillover effect on the investigation.
Don't get into that because that goes off on a huge
tangent.
I'm
not going to. At issue is whether to overturn a court-created exemption to the Constitution's double jeopardy bar that allows state and federal prosecutions for the same crime. Manafort.
So give people an example where you could be charged at the state level as well as the federal level. The gun charge is an interesting one because felons in possession of a firearm is usually, correct me if I'm wrong, a federal charge. That's why you go away for 5 years, felons with guns, 5 years, and it really is 5 years.
Correct. I don't think you can charge them then at the state level if you lose. I will remind everyone, and in case this comes up, John E. Robinson, the infamous serial killer from this area back in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, was charged at the state level with several murders for bodies found on his property in Lacine, Kansas.
Right.
Okay. I believe there were 3 or 4 bodies found in barrels on his property in Lacine. You may also recall that there were 3 bodies also found in storage lockers in Raymore, Missouri.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, it was Raymore. I distinctly remember going to the when I was a reporter at this radio station years and years ago, I distinctly remember going to the U.S. Attorney's Office in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, as they announced charges against John E. Robinson on the federal level.
Yes, because he transported the bodies across state lines.
It was thought they were killed in Kansas,
yes,
put in barrels, and then transported to a storage locker.
But those were different women,
that's
not
right,
the same women.
And the argument that the question that was asked was, why are you charging him with federal crimes for murders you could charge him with in the state of Kansas? The U.S. attorney at the time, whose name escapes me, said, this is our insurance policy in case he is acquitted,
yes,
in the state of Kansas.
Then we'll move over and try him federally.
For separate murders.
For separate women.
That's right.
That's the key. What the Supreme Court is looking at here, and honestly, Scott, I don't think I knew this was going on. I thought when there was a federal prosecution in tandem or after a state prosecution, it could be generally involving the same crime, but different aspects of the crime. The way I read this is they are being tried in some cases for the same crime. And I don't know how the Supreme Court could look at this any other way. You're not supposed to be able to do that.
I would agree.
So listen to this. There are some more details in this article. He was pulled over by police in 2015 for a broken taillight. Okay. Marijuana paraphernalia and a firearm were found in the car during the stop. Current precedent allows prosecutions by separate sovereigns. If the court overrules this, it could make it more difficult for a state to try someone who has been pardoned by the federal government for a crime. Gamble was previously barred from owning a firearm in relation to a robbery, and he served a year in prison after the state of Alabama convicted him for illegal possession. The federal government also charged Gamble for the same crime.
I don't think that's fair.
And he's currently serving time in a federal facility. So listen to me here. If the state had charged him with the marijuana possession and the feds charged him for being a felon in possession of a firearm, you're fine. State charges for marijuana, feds charge for felony in possession of a firearm. That would be allowed to me under the law. The problem is the state charged and convicted him for a weapons charge, and then the feds charged him and convicted him for a weapons charge. You can't do that, right?
I would think you could not.
And I think it's been going on for years, and no one has either challenged it or been successful in bringing a test case. Now, listen to this.
Well, the Supreme Court takes this up tomorrow.
This says many states, including New York, prohibit the trial of individuals who have been convicted for the same offense by the federal government. So some states have said, follow me here, Scott, if the feds have already tried you for something, we're not going to try you for the same thing.
Okay.
This says some states, which means other states allow for it.
There is no dispute that Gamble's arrest in 2015 for possessing a 9mm handgun led to state and federal charges. There's no dispute about that.
Okay.
He pleaded guilty in state court and tried to have the federal charge dismissed. When that failed, he pleaded guilty in federal court as well, with the idea of mounting the constitutional challenge,
right,
that is now before the U.S. Supreme Court. He is not scheduled for release from prison until 2020, nearly 3 years later than he would have been freed from conviction on state charges alone, which means if he is right,
I think he is, and it will be 9-0.
If you cannot be sentenced for the same crime on the state and federal level, listen to this again. Gamble is not scheduled for release from prison until 2020. 2 years from now, mm-hmm, 3 years later than he would have been freed from conviction on state charges, yeah, alone, which means he has served a year in prison
more than
he should not have served if the court finds in his favor.
This has to be a 9-0 decision. And let me read the double jeopardy clause
in the Fifth Amendment.
In the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution, okay? It's really simple. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. And read it again. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. The four essential protections included are prohibitions against for the same offense. There's four. Retrial after an acquittal. You cannot be tried for the same crime twice. We all know that. Retrial after a conviction. Retrial after certain mistrials. And number four, multiple punishment. That's where he wins this. Number four is multiple punishment.
576-7798. This man, Mr. Gamble, is going to the Supreme Court, or at least his case will be heard. I don't know that he is going. His case will be heard before the U.S. Supreme Court tomorrow. His argument, I pleaded guilty to the one charge on the state level and an identical charge on the federal level. He pleaded guilty to the state charge first, and then the federal charge. So the state charge theoretically would take precedent because you can't be tried for the same crime twice. I understand the supremacy clause of the U.S. Constitution, by the way. But the state charge was what he pleaded guilty to first. Therefore, he should have been released, arguably, last year. I'm not saying this guy's a saint. He's not. What I'm saying is you cannot be tried in the United States twice for the same crime. Double jeopardy is, dare I say, multifaceted. For example, you can't be acquitted of a crime and then they bring, let's say, Dana, I am accused of armed robbery in Johnson County.
Okay.
Steve Howe, the DA in Johnson County, takes me to court. I win, and I'm acquitted. He can't refile armed robbery charges against me.
Correct.
Because he didn't like the outcome. That's double jeopardy. Also, in the same way, this is why I'm saying it's multifaceted.
If you're convicted.
I'm convicted in Johnson County of that armed robbery. The federal government cannot come back and say, we're going to charge him with the same crime as well.
Right.
Because we don't think he got enough time in prison.
Under multiple punishments, the defendant may not be punished twice for the same offense. That's what it says right here. May not be punished twice for the same offense. There's nothing in here that says unless one is federal and one is state. That's
right.
Not what this says.
That's right.
Can I ask what he was charged with?
Criminal possession
felony
of a firearm.
Possession of a firearm.
Ah, then yes, that would be the same crime twice.
This is Kansas City's 98.1 FM.
98.1 FM.
KMBZ.
Hey, it's Scott Parks. Nebraska Furniture Mart is the place to shop and save this holiday season. You'll find everything on your list all in one store. The Mart has something for everyone, whether you're treating yourself, holiday gift shopping, or getting your home ready for holiday guests. And right now, they're taking up to 55% off suggested retail store-wide. Everything is on sale. Free shipping on qualifying purchases, $49 or more. Stretch your holiday budget with 24-month financing on purchases, $499 or more. See the store for details. Electronics, toys, appliances, furniture, flooring. The Mart is the one store that has it all. There's friendly sales professionals in every department to help you find exactly what you need. Grab some See's candies or an NFM gift card. They make perfect gifts. Most items are ready for easy pickup or fast delivery. Order anytime at NFM.com. With same-day drive-through pickup, it's easy to share the joy this holiday season with Nebraska Furniture Mart. We're having a little snafu with our computer system. Let's go to the phones. Jim in God's country. Hello, Jim.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What is up?
Hi.
Hey, you know, this conversation is so funny to me because you all are talking about this poor guy spending too much time in prison for illegally possessing a firearm, correct?
Yes. Well, that, the double jeopardy
his,
part.
That
yeah.
is his argument.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. Whichever. I mean, even though, but every time we have a school shooting or something like that, or a mall shooting or something like that, everybody wants to talk about the universal background checks. We have to purchase firearms legally. Scott, you own a firearm. You purchase it legally, right?
Yes, I think so.
But every weapon I own, I purchase legally with a background check. Now, why are we crying the blues about some guy who, from Alabama, who purchased a weapon illegally?
Well, because it's bigger than that. I mean, the double jeopardy clause in the Constitution is pretty clear, Jim.
We have universal background check, and every time we hear all these politicians, whether it be Republican or Democrat or whoever in Congress, saying we need to keep the weapons out of felons.
But, Jim, that has nothing to do with the story we're talking about.
And we don't have universal background checks. I was not background checked on my gun purchase, and it was legal.
You purchased from an individual, though, Scott.
I did, but there was no universal. There was no background check. Therefore, there's not universal background checks.
This decision is important, Jim, for all crimes. It could be for murder. It doesn't matter. The point of the argument in front of the Supreme Court tomorrow is whether or not the state can come after you and the feds can come after you for the exact same crime. Guns don't have anything to do with this story. They really don't. It doesn't matter what your crime may or may not have been. The question is whether or not the feds can try, charge, and convict you for the same crime that the state has tried, charged, and convicted you for.
Honestly, Dan, I understand that, but my point is, this is exactly the point that is brought up every time we have a school shooting or anything like that. It still needs to be brought to attention that we're attacking this whole thing wrong. If you want to stop rapists, if you want to stop child molesters, if you want to stop people who use guns in a crime, stop pampering them because we feel that it's wrong that they were convicted twice because of this, because they did it in Alabama, then they moved across to Georgia and did the same thing.
Okay.
Yes, the federal government has the right to do that.
Okay, well, actually, they don't.
They don't have the right to double jeopardy, Jim.
You have missed the entire point of this conversation.
This is going to be an
enormous decision when this comes down. I think it will be 9-0. The Constitution is very clear. When someone sends you to prison for a crime, you cannot be punished twice. And that is what happened in this case.
Yeah, but when do we stop coddling the criminal and start defending the legal citizen?
Jim, when do we just say you're a bad person, we're going to just send you to prison for the rest of your life? As a criminal, or as someone accused of a crime, I should rephrase, you do still have rights. Would you not agree with that?
Yes, Scott, to a point.
What do you mean, to a point?
I think the Constitution's pretty clear.
You have a right to a speedy trial. You have a right to a defense. You have a right to face your accuser. You have the right not to be a victim of double jeopardy per the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. You know what I find outrageous, Jim, if I may be so bold? Is people who consistently tap on their Constitution, and I'm not making a parallel here, like some people tap on their Bible and pretend that they're holier and wiser than thou, and then want to rewrite the very book for which they tap on.
Granted, Scott, I understand that 100%, but, you know, personally, well, I better not say it because you'll
get
mad.
Well, I think, Jim, we can all agree. We cannot just say because we don't like someone or their behavior that the Constitution doesn't apply, or that because we don't like an amendment, it shouldn't apply. If that was the case, which part of the second would you like to give up?
Well, honestly, which part of the Second Amendment would I like to give up?
Yes.
The right that everybody thinks they have to own a purchase or firearm.
Well, the Supreme Court has ruled that not everybody does.
Thank you. How many times, Scott? Twice.
I think it's probably more than that, but okay.
No, I mean, the actual right to own and purchase a firearm has been debated twice over the years.
Okay. Jim, the man has the right to be prosecuted for a crime. The government does not have the right to prosecute him twice for the same crime. Can we agree to that?
Yes, you're right. But okay. Hypothetical, Scott.
Okay.
Now you agree he was a felon and he illegally possessed a firearm, correct?
No disagreement. He pleaded guilty to it. I think that's fair.
Okay. What stops him getting out of prison tomorrow, going to the street, purchasing a firearm, and handing it to some disgruntled employee or a disgruntled student and walking into a college or a student or a business and shooting the place up?
Well, let me quote Prince for you, Jim, the singer Prince. If a man is guilty for the thoughts that go on in his mind, give me the electric chair for all my future crime. You cannot prosecute somebody for crimes they have not committed or that you think they may someday commit. Yes, would I like to lock up every bad person for the rest of their lives? You bet. Would it put a huge dent in the amount of crime committed in these great United States? You bet it would. Is it legal to lock people up for crimes they have not committed? It is not. We have to run. On behalf of our producer today, and by the way, let me finish by saying, may God bless these United States, and may God bless George H.W. Bush. What a moving ceremony today. I hope we all learned something.